Romans here. We, of course, are at the end of our study of the book of Romans. Did you think we'd ever get here? And we're not done yet, right? So, it should be to the point where when you come to church and you're now here at the second service, your Bible should automatically just fall open to Romans, right? Because we spent so much time here. But we are down to the end of the book of Romans, where the Apostle Paul is really kind of summarizing the issue of our being established. And where, look at verse 25, Romans 16:25. He says this: "Now to him that is the power to establish you." And we've already talked about the fact that who wants to be established? How many of y'all want to be established? Well, you wouldn't be here if you didn't, unless your parents forced you to come. Now, none of your parents forced you to come, right? You're all here because you choose to be here, right? But he says, "Now to him that is the power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever." And the saints said,
amen.
Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for your faithfulness, the fact that you continue to demonstrate in time the reality of the working of your word in hearts that believe it. God, we pray that each and every one of us here today would continue to open our hearts to what your word says, that our hearts would be knit together in love, that we would allow you to use us in time in reaching the lives of other people with the reality of your love, your merciful kindness, your goodness, all demonstrated by the Lord Jesus Christ and his willingness to go to the cross, die there for our sins, and be raised again from the dead. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. All right, well, as we've already spent a few weeks on this passage here, let me just real quickly review that you can see, based upon what Paul says here in closing the book, that there is a threefold pattern to being established as a believer. The first phase of that pattern is what Paul calls, see verse 25, my gospel. And we spent 2 weeks talking about that already, so we're going to move on. The second phase, the second part of your edification, or being established, is that next statement. And that's what we're going to talk about today. He says here, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. You see that? That's what the Holy Spirit through the pen of the Apostle Paul identifies as the second category, or second phase, or second installment, if I can say it that way, of doctrinal information that is necessary to establish us as believers. Now, we need to ask the question, well, what exactly is Paul talking about in that verse? Oftentimes when people read verses of Scripture, they'll say things like, well, that's just your interpretation, or that's your interpretation. No, that verse means something right there. And if we're going to be established as believers, we not only need to know what Paul means by my gospel, we talked about that the last 2 weeks in a row, right? Detail last time. But the next phase is the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Can I be so bold as to say, and not because this is original with me at all, but it's the truth, therefore I'm going to say it, if you do not know what that verse means right there by the phrase, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, then your being established, or established as a believer, has come to a halt. Now, don't misunderstand what I just said. Okay, do not misunderstand what I just said. Sometimes people will take a statement like that and they'll say, well, John, you're saying, therefore, if I don't know the mystery, then are you saying I'm not saved? No. I'm talking about a saint of the Most High God, someone who is already saved, already a member of the body of Christ. God desires that we go on in our edification, right? And there's some additional information, there's some additional doctrine that we need to have and built up in our inner man in order for that establishing to take place. So if you do not know, or if you reject or fight against or oppose the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, you're actually opposing, fighting against God's desire for your edification. You understand that? See that there? We were talking with Ann a little bit early, just between the break there. Look over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Also, when I make a statement like that, you know, I don't in any way, and please don't, you guys know me, okay? I'm not your boss. Do you know that? Even in my own house. No. Anyway. You know, yeah, that was bad, wasn't it? But I'm not your boss. When we quote that verse over in the last verse of 2 Corinthians, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. Y'all know that verse by now, right? You hear it all the time, right? You know, at the end of every Pal Talk session, it just, you know, push play, and it just comes out, you know, kind of thing. But that verse states our case. We don't have dominion over your faith. We genuinely seek to be helpers of your joy. When I preach and teach something, I sometimes come across like I believe it. And like I'm passionate about it, and like I'm intense. Do I ever get intense? Well, forgive me, okay? You know, if I do, it's not because I'm mad or upset at you. I kind of believe these things, okay? And I'm not making an apology for that, you know. But I am saying that when I come across that way, sometimes people seem to get the idea, not so much here, but sometimes people get the idea, well, John, you just think you know it all. Oh, my goodness, I don't know it all. But these verses mean something. And the fact is that what are we going to do with these verses? Do we just ignore them? Do we pretend that they're not there? Do we just do with these verses like what all the modern translations do, just leave verses out and so forth? I don't think we should do that. I think that if one of the most essential, if phase two of our edification is the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, then don't we need to know what that is? If you don't know what it is, you're stuck. I mean, you're stunted in your edification, period. There's no way around that. You may not like me saying it that way. I didn't write the verse. Your argument, your concern is with God, the Holy Spirit. If you do not know, and I'm talking about a believer now, okay? I'm talking about a saint of the Most High God. You're eternally secure. God loves you no matter what you do with the revelation of the mystery. You understand that? You're totally 100% forgiven. You're in the body of Christ. You're heir of God. You're going to be a citizen of heaven. Absolutely guaranteed. But God is actually interested in you coming to know the revelation of the mystery. See that? Look how he says it over here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Watch verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3 says this. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Watch this now. "Who will have all men to be what?" Notice the next word there. "And." To do what? "To come unto the knowledge of the truth." The truth that Paul is speaking about there is what Paul calls the mystery of Christ, the revelation of the mystery. So God absolutely has a desire. God is as interested in the believer being edified as he is in a lost person getting saved. See that? He doesn't say, well, I'm more interested in people getting saved and I'm less interested in saved people coming to the knowledge of the truth. God is every bit as interested in you and me as saints of the Most High God to come to the knowledge of the truth, understanding and learning what the revelation of the mystery is. Let me just, you know, I've tried to figure out different ways to do this, to maybe say it differently or try to convey it with a little bit more impact and so forth, and whatever. We'll just see if this works, right? But go back with me, if you would, to Romans 16. Let's just see if we can't appreciate these verses here. Look what he says. Watch this. Look at Romans 16. We're going to just run a lot of verses right now and then come back and talk about them briefly. Look at Romans 16:25. "Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest." Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. I'll make it Ephesians 1, then we'll flip over to chapter 3. Look at Ephesians 1. Look at Ephesians 1:8. Ephesians 1:8 says this, "Wherein he," that's in his grace, in God's grace. Ephesians 1:8 says this, "Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will," and so forth, "according to his good pleasure." Go to chapter 3, if you would. Go to chapter 3 at verse 2. "If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me," what? "The mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in what? The mystery of Christ. You should have that phrase underlined, okay, the mystery of Christ there. Jump ahead a little bit further in the same chapter. Look down at verse 9. And to make all men see, to make just a select few see. To make just, no, that verse says to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. Go to Colossians, if you would, chapter 1. Go to Colossians chapter number 1. Look over to Colossians chapter 1. Watch this. Colossians 1, verse 25. He says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even what? The mystery. Let me ask you this. Let me read the rest of the verse first. He says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Okay, let me ask you this. We read, you know, 5-6 verses there. What was the theme of all, what was the common denominator of every one of those verses? The mystery. What's the mystery? I mean, if you were to go say to the average, you know, believer, average believer out there in the world today, and just ask them, say, you know, I'm curious. The Apostle God, the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, keeps writing using this phrase. I'm going to sneeze. So, okay, that happened last night at Bible study. I was about to sneeze. I couldn't. Anyway, go to the average believer out there, and just ask him. Say, have you noticed that in Paul's epistles, he keeps using this phrase, the mystery, the mystery. The mystery. It's again and again and again. And just ask him, say, what is the mystery? Ever ask him that? And if you ask him that, ask preachers that. Go to your bookstores and don't buy the books, just read them on the shelf because they're not worth paying the money for most of the time. But just open up to Ephesians 3, Ephesians 1. Look, see what the commentators say the mystery is. What is the mystery? Let me ask a couple of questions. Does it sound like that the mystery is probably important to God? Whatever it is, does it sound like it's probably important to God? Okay, next question. Therefore, who else should it maybe be important to? To those who have come, those who have trusted Christ. Okay, it should be important to us. Another question. Is God interested in us learning whatever the mystery is God interested in us knowing what it is? Why is he interested in us knowing what it is? Part of his purpose, required for edification, his will, all those things come into play. Okay? Now, is there any doubt when you just... we didn't sit here right this morning and read every verse from Romans through Philemon. We read a few verses right there. Is there any doubt, even from those verses, that it sure seems to be that the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, has placed at least some kind of emphasis on the mystery? By the way, I'm really toning it down. Do you understand that? I'm really toning it down this morning, okay? So please don't fall asleep on me, all right? So, and I know you won't. But I'm toning it down on purpose because sometimes people will suggest, well, John, all the stuff about the mystery, you're way over the top. You guys are part of this mystery club. You're making too big deal out of it. I don't think we make a big deal enough about it. Listen, let me say it this way. When you read the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you should read them, you should study those books. We're studying Matthew on Wednesday nights, right? When you read the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what is the theme of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? It's exactly what the theme is. The theme of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the theme. Everything that happens in the earthly ministry of Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the signs, the miracles, the arrival of John the Baptist on the scene of human history, at the time that he arrived on the scene of human history, the gathering together of the little flock, the 12 apostles, the parables, everything, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, everything that you're reading about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John revolves around the theme that at that time, the kingdom of heaven was actually, really and truly, not figuratively, but actually, really and truly at hand. Israel at that time in human history stood on the threshold of being able to enter into that kingdom. That, granted, they had to go through a 7-year tribulation period, but it was right there. It was as real and as legitimate of an offer that God made to that former generation when he brought them out of Egypt, and they stood at the land, they stood at Kadesh Barnea, they stood right on the border of the land to enter into the land that he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Question. Could Israel actually have entered into the land?
Yes.
Absolutely. Why didn't that generation enter in? How come? Because of unbelief. So that generation passed on, and that next generation entered in. But listen, it was a legitimate offer for that nation to enter into that land. So too, when Jesus Christ stood here on this planet, when John the Baptist, the Lord Jesus Christ, and then Christ Himself taught the 12 and told them to go out and preach that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, it was an absolute legitimate offer from heaven. It wasn't figurative. It wasn't symbolic. It wasn't a fake offer. It was legitimate. It was real. Look, for example, quickly, if you would, over to Mark chapter number 1. This is a pretty powerful verse here. Look over to Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1. Look over to Mark chapter number 1, these two verses, 14 and 15. Mark 1, verse 14 and 15 says this, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying..." Here's what he said. This is the gospel of the kingdom of God. Quote, here it is, right here. "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." What gospel? The gospel of the kingdom. That the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God was at hand. When you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, everything that was happening revolved around the fact that at that time the kingdom of heaven was at hand. The theme of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What happened to it? That was almost 2,000 years ago. Why didn't it come? Did Jesus lie? Was it an illegitimate offer? You understand that? So we have a problem here. If the kingdom of heaven was really and truly at hand, and we're saying it was a legitimate offer that Israel really could have entered into that thing, obviously they had to go through the tribulation period, okay? Why didn't it come? How come? Fundamentally because of Israel's unbelief. They eventually committed the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, but instead of God at that point beginning the tribulation period, He did something all right. He did intervene all right. But He didn't intervene with the breaking those seals in the book of Revelation that we read about this morning, chapter 6, where He begins to break the seals, the first seal, the second seal. He didn't do that. He came back and He saved Saul of Tarsus, the chief of sinners, and committed to him some information that had been kept secret since the world began. If you'll go back to Romans there, quickly. Look over to Romans. Look at Romans 16 there again. Look at the phrase here. Look at Romans 16. Look at Romans 16:25. So second half of the verse there, Romans 16:25b, how's that? The preaching of Jesus Christ according to something. According to what? The revelation of the mystery, comma, which was kept secret since the world began. Listen, whatever the mystery is, but let's pretend for a second we don't know and we've never heard of it before. By the way, that shouldn't be true of anybody here, okay? You've heard the mystery a few times, okay? So, but whatever it is, what do you know for sure about it from that phrase right there? See that? This is a lot easier than people tend to make it. Even if you don't know what the mystery is, what you know about the mystery is that it was some information kept secret since the world began. That means that I'm not going to find it back there in the book of Genesis. I'm not going to find it in the book of Isaiah or Malachi. It also means I'm not going to find it where else. Isn't that interesting? If the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, right here in this verse, says that the mystery has been kept secret since the world began, well then, could Jesus Christ Himself have been speaking about the mystery during His earthly ministry? The answer is absolutely not. How could it have been kept secret since the world began? He would have exposed it. You see that? It's not a question of whether or not He knew it. That's another whole issue. The question is, did He speak about it even if He did know it? The answer is no. It was kept secret since the world began. Well, wait a minute then. If it was kept secret since the world began, how did it get made known? Was that terrible English or what? how did it get made known?
The Apostle Paul.
Look at the verse. The verse says, it says, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation. Oh, the thing got revealed. I remember a number of years ago, we gave a copy of a book written by a brother who's with the Lord, Pastor Stan, who's been with the Lord a number of years, but it's a book entitled Things That Differ. And many of y'all have read that book. It's worth reading and so forth. And we gave that book to a neighbor that lived up the street from us. And in the book, of course, Pastor Stan talks about the revelation of the mystery and it was revealed to Paul. For whatever reason, this guy thought what we were saying and what the author was saying is that the book of Revelation is what was named owed to Paul. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. No. Okay, you know, like, that, where did that come from? You know, you're talking about a different playing field, so to speak. But that verse very clearly says the preaching of Jesus Christ according to something. Question. If it's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, then would I expect to find that information back there in the Old Testament or in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which again technically is still Old Testament ground. It's not there. Question. Did John the Baptist preach Christ? Yes. Here's another question. Did the Old Testament preach Christ? Yes, of course, just in prophecy form and so forth. So whether it's the Old Testament or whether it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all preached Christ. But they preached Christ not according to the mystery, but they preached Christ according to what we refer to as prophecy. That is, information that had been disclosed. Information that had been revealed since the foundation of the world. Quickly, if you would, go to Luke chapter number 1. Go to Luke chapter number 1 here. Look over to Luke chapter number 1. Prophecy. Yeah, according to prophecy. According to that which had been written. Yeah, or that which had been revealed. Okay? So all of your Bible writers are preaching Christ. They're preaching the same person. Look at this passage here. This is over in Luke chapter number 1. This is Zechariah. He is the father of John the Baptist, and he is speaking here by the Holy Spirit. And the context is the birth of Christ, the birth of John, and the ministry, the beginning of the ministry here. He says this at verse 68, Luke 1, 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Who was his people there? That's Israel. And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Okay, who does that have to be, that horn of salvation in the house of David, the descendant of David? Who's that? That's got to be Christ. Okay? Now watch verse 70. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. See that there? So he preached Christ. Christ was the horn of David. John the Baptist preached Christ. When the writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, write about Christ, they are preaching Christ. In early Acts there, when Peter speaks about the death and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, he is preaching Christ. But they are all preaching Christ according to, as that phrase there, what the holy prophets have spoke about since the world began. They preached Christ according to, the way to say it would be, according to prophecy. They preached Christ. Who am I thinking of? Philip. Not Philip, Stephen, who witnessed to the eunuch. Well, thank you. Okay, I'm confused here. when he went to the book of Isaiah, and the eunuch says, "Of whom speakest thou, the prophet, of himself or some other man?" And then he takes and preaches Jesus and the resurrection and so forth. He's preaching Christ. But he's preaching Christ according to prophecy. Information that had been written down. You ever wondered why, for example, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, so often you see phrases like, this happened to fulfill that which was written. This happened to fulfill that which was written. You realize when the Apostle Paul is speaking about the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, he does not make that same appeal. He does not say, I'm preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery because it was written in the Old Testament. He does absolutely not make that same appeal. So whatever the mystery is, and we are going to talk about that. We won't get there today, obviously, all right? But whatever the mystery is, what you know for certain is it is not found anywhere in the entire Old Testament, nor in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, nor frankly, even in at least the early chapters of Acts. You cannot find whatever the mystery is. You cannot find it until you find it in Paul's epistles. It's mentioned exclusively in the writings of the Apostle Paul. What difference does that make? Well, listen, if the preaching of Jesus Christ, if that information, if whatever it is, if that information is necessary for us being established, if that information is necessary for our continued edification, then it's essential that we know what it is. Right? See that there? Look how Paul says it over in the book of Colossians. Look over to the book of Colossians, chapter 1 here. Look over to the book of Colossians, chapter number 1. Watch this. In Colossians here, chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul again speaks. The context clearly is about the dispensation of God, the mystery and so forth. Look at verse 25. I'm going to start at verse 25. Colossians 1, verse 25. He says, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even what?" Okay, question. What did he just call the dispensation in which he believed he was living? He just called it the mystery. When we here on the chart depict this up here as the dispensation, we depict that this is the time in history in which we live, and we depict it the dispensation of grace, but that verse right there legitimately calls it the mystery. Isn't that interesting? All right, let's keep reading. He says at verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations. Stop there for just a second. Okay, so does that confirm what we read back there in Romans 16? How does it confirm it? Interesting. One says it was not made known. The other says it was hid. That means you've got both angles covered. See that there? That verse says, at verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but when? But now. No wonder we call this the but now time frame. See that? But now is made manifest to his saints. When was this information first made known? According to the Bible that you hold in your hand. And it needs to be a King James Bible, by the way. But according to the book that you have, that you say you believe is the Bible, it declares, forget what the preachers say, forget what the theologians say, forget what the commentators say, believe what the Holy Spirit says. The Holy Spirit says that this information was made known first to and through the writings of the Apostle Paul. It's that simple. So again, it confirms it. That's why you can't find it back in the Old Testament. That's why you're not going to find it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You've got to come to the writings of the Apostle Paul to find it. By the way, if that's true, why is it that the church as a whole seems to be so, and I don't mean to use this word derogatorily, that was even a bad word, but that's not why I'm using this word. Why is it that the church seems to be so ignorant about the mystery? They don't. There's the key right there. Yes, they don't read it. But listen, someone is interested in still keeping the mystery a mystery. There's an absolute satanic opposition against. Look at Paul's ministry and you'll see that. That's another whole subject. We'll probably get to that at some point when we get to the book of Ephesians. But look at what else he says here. Look at verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known. Does it sound like God wants this information known? Does it sound like there's maybe even a little bit of an excitement on God's part to make this known? Yeah. He says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Notice it. Notice that verse doesn't say to whom God would make known the mystery. There are riches and glory associated with the information. That's what he wants us to know. And you'll never know the riches of the glory of the mystery if you don't know the mystery. That verse says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. Paul preached Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now has been made manifest. He says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Why? Look at the next statement there. That we may present every man what? Wait a minute. Now we got a contradiction here, Paul. I thought I was already perfect in Christ. I thought I'm already complete in Christ. Remember that message? Barry reminded me, several years ago, Barry reminded us about that message. But wait, I'm already complete in Christ. If you've never heard that message, and I don't say this to plug me, if you've never heard that message, go listen to that message. If you ever doubt your security, if you ever wonder about your salvation, if you ever wonder about forgiveness of sins, if you ever wonder about those, is there anything that you're lacking that you need to do, go get that message. If you're not sure how to find it, Dan can steer you in the right direction to get it. Get it, put it on a CD, plug it in your car, listen to it again and again and again and again. Listen to it so much that in your mind, anytime something comes along or someone suggests something that somehow you're not complete in Christ or you're not sufficient in Christ or somehow you're going to lose your salvation or can lose your salvation, you will, out of the inner being of your soul, you will shout, what? But wait, I'm already complete in Christ. So get out of my face with that religious legalism. See that? So how is it that we are already perfect, but he says that he may present us perfect? Do we have a contradiction here? Yes. One is speaking about your identity. One is speaking about your edification. Paul had an absolute desire to present every man perfect, mature, functioning as a mature saint. See that? Now, where did Paul get that desire from? That it wasn't from his own flesh. Listen, that's the Holy Spirit of God writing to the Apostle Paul. You can see the zeal, the passion, the excitement that the Apostle Paul has there, if I can say it this way, is the zeal, the passion, the excitement of God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. That's who's having him write this. You see that? So whatever the mystery is, it sure seems like God feels like it's important to him. It sure seems like God has the Apostle Paul write a lot about it, that he wants us to be aware of it and know what it is and learn about it. So we obviously are going to need to spend some time doing that. I should tell you that we're obviously not going to do that today. We're not going to do that in the next several weeks. We are. The next study we're doing after Romans, we're going to go through the book of Ephesians, where we will study in detail, because there's a lot of detail in the book of Ephesians about this thing the Apostle Paul calls the mystery. Suffice it to say this morning. Let me just kind of wrap this up this morning. When the Apostle Paul uses the term the mystery, the mystery, just like the phrase, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that's the theme of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so too in Paul's epistles, the theme is the mystery of Christ. That if you were to take Paul's epistles and you want to write a theme over the top of it, what you write is the mystery of Christ. That's the theme. That's what God's doing today. And so too, just like parallel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are multiple aspects to the kingdom. Such as, if you're going to have a kingdom, what else do you have to have? You got a king, a throne, land, how to get in it. You got people, right? Kingdom of kingdom without people, I suppose, right? What's that? Governments, you got rulership, you got, see that? So just like the kingdom that the Old Testament prophesied about that will yet be set up on this earth, it's obviously not here today, obviously, all right? It will yet be set up when Jesus Christ comes back. There are multiple aspects to that kingdom. So when you're using the phrase the kingdom, sometimes you're talking about the whole all-inclusive, but sometimes you might be talking about something very specific. Well, it's an interesting parallel. When the Holy Spirit through the pen of the Apostle Paul talks about the mystery, sometimes he's using it in a general term almost for the whole picture, but there are at least 7 different aspects of the mystery. Isn't that interesting? Write these down very quickly and we're going to be done. We'll have to pick up here as we study the book of Ephesians, we will see these things, okay? There are at least 7 different components or aspects that really make up what the Apostle Paul means, the mystery, all right? First, and by the way, this is not necessarily in order of importance, but first of all is just the whole fact of the existence of this time in history when God is offering grace to humanity. It's called the dispensation of the grace of God. Colossians called it the dispensation of God, even the mystery. So first is just this whole period in time. Though a dispensation is not necessarily limited time, the fact is it is in time. Okay? So first, the whole entire dispensation. was a mystery. God nowhere in the Old Testament said that there was going to be this period of time in which He was going to do what He's doing now. Okay? Second, kind of what Barry was alluding to, is if God has this dispensation, the mystery, then what He also has is some news that's good, the gospel, that tells people how they can participate in what the offer is. So the second aspect of the seven parts of the mystery is the gospel. How do you get in this thing? How do you actually participate in what the offer is? The third is, okay, when you believe the gospel, the grace of God, what do you actually get into? What are you made a part of? That's called the body of Christ. That the body of Christ was a mystery. Okay, that's the third aspect here. Okay? The fourth is the fact that this dispensation of grace cannot, it's impossible that it will go on forever. How come? Because the other prophecy still has to be fulfilled. So that means that the termination or the end, the event that marks the end of this dispensation is also an aspect of the mystery. That we call that the rapture. The rapture is the event that marks the termination of this offer, this time of grace, the spirit of amnesty. Okay, so that's, what are we, number four there? Number five is, what's the purpose of the body of Christ? God is forming the church, the body of Christ today, for the heavenly places. That's the fifth aspect there. Something to do with the heavenly places out there. That's the fifth aspect of the mystery. The sixth is the fact of what the Apostle Paul calls the ministry of reconciliation. Question, who can get into the body of Christ? Anyone! Jew or Gentile. Because, one of the reasons that is so is because Israel has fallen to the level of the Gentiles. God sees all humanity as equal, hence the ministry of reconciliation. That's the sixth aspect of the mystery that is essential to be able to form this body of Christ. And last but certainly not least is the duration, what the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter number 11 calls, what he refers to as, I would not have you to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentiles become in. So the duration of Israel's blindness, that's an aspect of this mystery. Okay? Isn't that fascinating? In order for us to know what the mystery is, God the Holy Spirit puts all that information in Paul's epistles. Now, it's going to take some time to look at those things. And our next study that we're going to do, we're going to start this in just a couple of weeks, we're going to go from Romans to the book of Ephesians. We're not there yet, all right? But we'll talk about all those things when we go study verse by verse in great detail the book of Ephesians that takes us right into those heavenly places, where the body of Christ is going to have its impact and its sphere of influence throughout all eternity. Now, we're not there yet, okay? But in anticipation of that, let me encourage you. The book of Ephesians, how many chapters in the book of Ephesians?
Six.
So how fast can you, even if you're a slow reader, how fast can you read the book of Ephesians?
6 years.
Come on now. about 20 minutes, right? So even half an hour. So in anticipation of studying Ephesians, start reading it. Start reading it. And when you're reading those verses about the mystery, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, help me understand what I'm reading here. Help me see what is it that you desire that we see here. Okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank You for the time that we can look into Your Word this morning, and especially have Your Word remind us again the importance of the preaching of Jesus Christ, that He is the person that we are preaching, and we are to preach Him according to the revelation of the mystery which You kept secret on purpose. And You have made it known. And might we see it with eyes afresh and new and with new excitement and zeal. And do so that we might just have Your joy and Your excitement, Your desire. And that we might be used by You in the lives of not just only our own self and our own families, but the lives of other people. For Your glory and honor, in Christ's name we do pray. Amen.
God, You're better.